Good morning, everyone. I am told that nobody throws food, so. If it's bad and you're going to throw something, please don't throw food because I'll eat it. Just don't do it, folks. My name is Jane Marie, and I am absolutely a compulsive overeater. And I hope that this is helpful. I was instructed that I should give you a few minutes about how I qualify for program. I'm telling you, I could spend all 20 minutes telling you about how I qualify for this program. Starting as a kid, being raised in an abusive household, I learned that eating was a great way to cope. And when I was feeling angry, sad, anything that I perceived to be negative, I would eat. And it worked, and that I survived. But as an adult, I found it to not be so very helpful. And then when I was raising our four children, if my kids got into my food, God forbid that they do so, I would scream and yell like a crazy woman. I see it now, and it's just really pretty frightening. I have been in program now for 16, 17 years and been abstinent from sugar for 8 and from gluten for 7. And I've had the grace of losing 45 pounds and keeping it off. I have, before abstinence, driven around in my car, stopped at places that have food that I no longer eat. I would hurry up and eat it. And then when I would get home, I would pull my car into the garage and make sure all the garbage got into the garbage can right away so that no one would know that I had eaten this food. By the way, no one in my family gave a rat's putt whether I ate that food, including my husband. Nobody cared. But I was absolutely that frightened of someone knowing how really crazy my eating had become. My favorite one was at the end of holidays. I would go to certain stores that would have things on sale that I no longer eat, and I would just store them up, throw them in the freezer, because then I would have them. And I'm telling you, it took years, even with abstinence, for me not to think about that when I'd go into these stores. And I no longer do it, but there's still that, oh, do you remember when? And I'm like, yes! And I can walk right past that sale and say, thank you. So today I am speaking on step 5 and that spiritual principle is integrity. So just as a reminder, step 5, I admitted to God, to ourselves and another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. So since I was speaking about integrity, I wanted to make sure I knew what it meant. So, because you know that's nothing better than a talk that has nothing to do with the topic that they're supposed to be talking about. So, I looked up on Google, it's my best friend, two different dictionary definitions. And the first one was from Miramax, said, firm adherence to a code of moral or aesthetic values. This one was the quality of being complete, undivided. And that just so fits for me. And the second was Cambridge, the quality of being honest and having sturdy moral principles that you refuse to change. Honesty, the spiritual principle, step 1. Wow, was I missing that? I was missing it within myself. I was missing it with God. I was missing it with others. And I had no idea how much food was corrupting my ability to be honest. I couldn't have known because I was so living in the food. I had wanted to be the best mom to my four children because I wanted them to experience something very differently than I had. But when I was in the food, I couldn't live my integrity. I couldn't live my moral principle of being the best mom because all I could think about was, when am I going to get my next fix? Oh my goodness, you got into my food. Now what am I going to do? I wanted to clean that up. I wanted to be a different mom. I wanted to have a different experience. And so steps 1 through 12 and step 5. Why do a step 5? Well, for me, it was because I wanted, and I still want, spiritual integrity so I can have conscious contact with God on a daily basis as much as possible throughout my day. I want to also be able to then use the information, the directions that I get from God, to be of help to my fellow. And just have a great life, right? Just have a great life. The 12 and 12 suggest the reasons for doing the fifth step are to end our isolation from God and from others. And again, for me, it was just as important to end the isolation I had from myself. Who am I? What were my beliefs about me? And it also suggests to uncover that which was hidden, which is so true. All those beliefs and those things I told myself, right? Those were not, I didn't know what I was doing. They were just there feeding my disease. The 12 and 12 tells us how we do this. We see the part we played in creating some or maybe most of our challenges. Here is where honesty comes in. So I would so often, almost always, blame someone for my eating, right? I'd be at work. My boss was such a turd, I better eat something on the way home. That showed him, didn't it? Boy, he's feeling bad about that. Or my husband, or my children, or the, you know, some woman in front of me in Target had 45 coupons when we had coupons. She's pulling them all out, and I am important, and I need to get moving. So I better get home and have a fix, because I was feeling so frustrated. So I need to be honest about that. I need to stop blaming others. And then we do not do this step to blame or shame, but with our acknowledgement of our own humility, our frailty. And that was so important for me. I was so good at beating myself up. I had a PhD postdoc studies in how to beat myself up. I did not need a program to do that for me. And step five was really more of an uncovering, a realization, an awakening. And I've done a number of step fives. And each, as we talk about in the program, is peeling the onion, right? And I'm no longer afraid of what I'm going to find. I'm like, okay, wow, that's helpful. Now this, I understand why I was doing that, instead of, oh yeah, how come you kept doing that? Or why didn't I find this out earlier? And then we admit our wrongs. Oops, sorry, I lost my place. And then we admit our wrongs to God and to ourselves, in writing, out loud, and in order to see ourselves, not just from the food, but from all the misperceptions that we have about ourselves, all the ones that we lived with. And we heard this morning from our reading that we are equal to, not less than or more than. That was not something I had ever experienced prior to abstinence and program, because I was sure I was either best at absolutely everything I did, or I was lower than the lowest sea urchin at the bottom of the ocean. It was an all or nothing, which is really what I have found my disease does. When we admit these wrongs, our thinking, our feelings, and our beliefs to someone else, that's the next thing. First, I admit to God and to myself, and then I admit to someone else. Are you kidding me? Because if I am the best or the worst, I am going to tell somebody these things, and they're going to vomit, or they're going to get up and leave, or they're going to laugh at me. And obviously, I never experienced any of those things. But I could see, especially my first time, I could see the acceptance that my sponsor, I've always done them with sponsors, what acceptance my sponsor had for me in her eyes, in her demeanor, in everything about her. So I could grasp that and start taking it as mine. I could share what she was seeing and feeling and go, oh, maybe it's not so bad. And that was hugely helpful, because I was not able to do that on my own. I experienced that I was accepted, warts and all my shortcomings and all. And obviously, God accepted me, so that was not an issue. We are living, we are willing to open our hearts. One of the things we have to do for step five is we have to, we are willing to open our hearts so that life-changing power can come in and heal us. That's page 60 of the 12 and 12. Again, we are willing to open our hearts so that a life-changing power can come in and heal us. The more I work, and for me I use the term live, my program, the more that this healing has happened. Because the more I see it, the more I want it. And all of that fits back into that integrity piece, right? If I am not willing and honest to be able to look and ask and be shown and hear and listen, then I can't have that integrity that I want so very badly. I want to be able to treat people with kindness and love, and I can't do that when I am not being honest with myself. And how are these, how are all of these actions that we just talked about related to integrity? Again, I can't follow my own moral code. I really struggle with telling other people's stories. It is a significant shortcoming that I have, and in many different ways. And that does not fit with my moral code, which is I want to be kind. I want to be thoughtful. I want to be present. And these things are not happening if I'm talking about other people. Even if I'm sharing positive information, it's not mine to share. And that is really a challenge for me. That pause button works, gets a lot of extra work in my life. Oh, but. And with my adult children, my tongue can be raw because I am so sure that they need the information I have to share. Because I'm just that good and I'm humble too. So, though, but that's the integrity, right? If I'm not asked for my opinion, my integrity, my honesty, my belief in what is core to my value is to close this, to not share. And that too is just a real challenge because I'm a fixer. I really want to fix people a lot. And I do it for a career, so it makes it much more challenging. What a surprise, right? I should have been an engineer. But so it's hard to take myself out of the role of that's my job. But when I leave that office, that's not my job. And even within my job more and more, I am able to see that people are much more capable of helping themselves than I realized. So these are some of the things. When I deny my own shortcomings, I can't fix them. And God can't fix them because there's a block between God and myself. And the only way to remove that block is through doing my step five. I can't live with 100% of integrity because I'm not perfect, which prior to program, I was sure was a character defect. Because if I wasn't perfect, then I was less than. And when I realized through working step five, living in integrity, working, living my program, is that it's simply a fact of being a human being. Being a human being isn't a flaw. It's the way I was created. And some of my challenges were life-saving skills that I had as a child and adolescent because of the home I grew up in. I just don't need those coping skills anymore. I get to find new ones, ones that are directed from my higher power, from living my program, from being present in the moment. And that's also a huge part of where I want to have integrity, is living now. Not being in the future. I'm really good at planning for the future. Every single scenario that's possible, I've got them all down. But then I can't be present. then I can't be living life because I'm in the future. And what I want to be is present. I want to hear, I want to see, I want to feel, I want to touch, all of it. And our real purpose, the big book says on page 76, our real purpose is to fit, sorry, that was distracting. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people around us. Wow. That's not much of a purpose, really. Seems pretty easy. I've done a few step fives. I think I've achieved this now. I can stop. Okay, maybe not. I mean, the only way to live my maximum purpose is to work my step five and live in integrity, which means living my program. One of the things I didn't tell you about is how I came to program, which I think is an interesting story of God's miracles. And my son has given me permission to share. He was 19 and went into recovery, and by the grace of God has now been clean and sober more than half of his life, and is raising a beautiful redheaded 19-month-old and is expecting his second. But when he was in recovery, we did the parent things, right? And I remember someone in the teaching said, you know, this is what is an addiction like. Think about your favorite thing, maybe your favorite food, and think about what it would be like to live without it. I almost vomited because I had my favorite food and I thought, oh, that's not possible. I couldn't live without that. And then when he continued to be in recovery and I saw not only the people, not only him, but all his friends that would come over and met other people that were working a program, I was like, that is so cool. Look at how calm they are. And so I made a comment, honey, that is so cool. I just can't imagine. I just think this 12-step program is so great. It's too bad they don't have one for eating. Honest to Pete, honest to Pete. And he looked at me and kind of leaned in and he said, Mom, they have one for that. Okay, now I was committed. Because I had a 19-year-old son who, against all odds, got into recovery from alcohol and drugs. So here I was, a relatively old woman, who was like, okay, now what? And so that was what really led me into OA, and clearly, the grace of God. Thank you for listening. Aww.